Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I often think that some of the most consoling passages in Holy Scripture can be found in the book of Psalms. For example, in Psalm 145, we find these words: "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." In Psalm 103, we read, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Now, as Christians, we believe that everything written in Holy Scripture, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, finally refers to Christ. We never rightly understand anything in Holy Scripture until we see how it is related to Christ. The book of Psalms was the prayer book of God's Old Testament people, and therefore also it was the prayer book of Jesus. He would have heard the Psalms in the humble home of Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his foster father. He would have heard the Psalms in the synagogue worship and in the temple. And it was passages from the book of Psalms which came to his lips as he suffered and died on the cross. From Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" From Psalm 69, "I thirst." From Psalm 31, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." In fact, when Christianly understood, the whole book of Psalms is a portrait of Christ, the one who without ceasing praises the Father, the one who walks in complete conformity with the Father's will, the one who suffers the hatred and hostility of those who hate the Father, the one who triumphs over all his enemies. In Jesus, we see the Psalms come to life, not least those marvelous passages which speak of the tender mercy of the Father. For Jesus is God's tender mercy in the flesh. In the gospel for this day, he says, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." And he goes on to say, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." Jesus is God's tender mercy in the flesh. Jesus is the exact image and likeness of the Father, whose tender mercies are over all his works. And if we are to be disciples, students, followers of Jesus, our lives too must be marked by the same kind of tender mercy. Surely no one needs to be told that you and I live in a world where tender mercy and compassion are in short supply. The history of the fallen in sin human race is so much a history of the failure of mercy and compassion. And even we Christians find that tender mercy and compassion in short supply, not least when we sit in harsh judgment of other frail human beings like ourselves. God remembers our frame, that we are dust. But do we? How easy it is to see that speck in a brother or sister's eye while failing to see the law that is in our own. One of the great Christian laymen of the last century was Gilbert Keith Chesterton. He had a remarkable talent, not only for setting forth the truth of the Christian faith, but also for demolishing specious arguments against it. And I almost never find myself disagreeing with him. But I do, in fact, disagree with what he has to say toward the end of his splendid book, Orthodoxy, in which he sets forth with such conviction and power the astonishing truth that God himself once lived on this planet in an out-of-the-way province of the Roman Empire. Chesterton then goes on to say of Jesus, God in the flesh, there was something he covered constantly by abrupt silence or isolation. There was some one thing that was too great for God to show us when he walked upon the earth. And I have sometimes fancied that it was his mirth. God's mirth. Jesus' mirth. I believe that we do in fact see God's mirth in the life and words of Jesus. Just think of the comparison Jesus presents in today's gospel to make the point that we frail human beings have no business judging the motives and the heart of other frail human beings. Isn't there something very funny in the comparison? Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? Just try for a moment to picture that, and I think you may agree that it's really rather funny. And then there was the time when Jesus asked the Samaritan woman by Jacob's well to call her husband. And she responded, I have no husband. And Jesus replied, this you said truly. You have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. I like to believe that our blessed Lord said that with a twinkle in his eye. We say of God's Son, Jesus, as we did in the Creed just a few moments ago, that he is the one through whom all things were made. And even a cursory look at creation sees some of the most astonishing, even funny creatures you can imagine. God delights in his creation. He delights in you and in me enough to go to the cross for us, that his mercy might be yours and mine forever. So with all due respect to G.K. Chesterton, I submit that in Jesus, God's mirth was visible in his mercy. And so we give him thanks now and always and unto the ages of ages. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.